So one of our disciples made the Falls Church news press. It was Edna Derrick. If you remember last year, she was in the Senior Olympics, and she was number one for walking or something. I teased her. I was looking forward to her taking diving lessons so that she could be the number one in diving. But here she is right here. Don't just age in place, age in first place. Northern Virginia Senior Olympics, and it's for 50 plus. So a lot of us here can participate. So, you know, every time I turn around, they're lowering the age. So that's good news. There are certain things that we hold to memory in our heads, be it from the public square, the home, or in church. Some of them are like, "My country, 'tis of thee." Many of us know those words. The Star-Spangled Banner, we think we know those words until we're asked to sing it. The Pledge of Allegiance, many of us learned it. I learned that in grade school. In God we trust. We see that on our coinage and dollar bills. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Many of us have learned that when we have services of death and resurrection. I ask people to say it with me, and as each year goes along, there are less and less that know those words. And then the other is the Lord's Prayer. And so that is our focus for today, is the Lord's Prayer. One of my favorite movies is Sister Act. Who has seen Sister Act before with Whoopi Goldberg? And you know the story. She gets messed up with the mob, and she sees a murder take place, and so the police have to hide her. And of all places to hide her, they hide her in a nunnery. And so there she becomes Sister Mary Clarence. She wears the habit. She has to act like the other sisters there. And on her first day, all of the sisters are seated around the table, and Mary Clarence is asked to offer the blessing over the meal. And so let me share with you what this blessing was that she said. She said, "Bless us, O Lord, for these gifts we're about to receive." Not bad. "And yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us our daily bread, and to the public for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce ready to eat. Amen." How would you like Ian and I to offer those kind of prayers for you on Sunday morning? She had them all mixed up. Those images, those words in the secular world, the civic world, and the Christian world. Prayer. Barna Group, it's a religious group that studies religion in America, and they came up with these statistics recently that 4 out of 5 adults in America pray during the week. Women pray more than men. Come on, men, let's step up. African Americans pray more than Hispanics, who pray more than Caucasians. People in the South and Midwest pray more than people in the West and the Northeast. We kind of straddle the South and Northeast here. And for why people pray, they were asked, they said, to give thanks for what God has done in their lives. Not bad. They pray to give thanks for what God has done in their lives. So today we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. It is found in two places, in Matthew and Luke. The one we're looking at today in Luke is the shorter version. And I have been part of a music ministry for, 40 years. I have been involved in music ministry in churches. And when I was coming through in the 70s and 80s, if there was a wedding, everyone had to have the Lord's Prayer by Albert Mallott sung at their wedding. And there were so many requests that I have here one of every key that it is in. I have the one that is just piano. I have the one that is just organ. I have the one that is the piano-organ duet. Ben, we could do that, but we've lost that opportunity. And but there is just everybody. Did anyone have the Lord's Prayer sung at your wedding? I'm just curious. Yeah, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. I had a funeral a couple weeks ago, and so they had this Mallott's Lord's Prayer sung at that funeral, but you know, it starts out very quiet and then it builds up, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and then this low amen. It's a beautiful, striking, very dramatic piece. So we have the Lord's Prayer. I think about, I still get caught off guard when I go to a Catholic church for Mass or for a funeral or a wedding, and you know, we go along and our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive, and lead us not into temptation, to deliver us from evil, for thine, and we're the only one saying for thine, and we just slither under the pew, you know, we've made that mistake, please don't look at me, Catholics, you know, but you know, they don't have the tag that we have. The preface to the Lord's Prayer. As he finished prayer, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And it's interesting in this prayer, it is not a personal prayer. The pronouns are plural. It's not like, my Father who art in heaven, give me this day, forgive my trespasses, but it's all in plural. It's about, as a community of faith, how we live and how we work in discipleship with one another. Its concerns embrace the whole world, from the beginning of the kingdom to daily bread, large things, small things, spiritual things, material things, inward and outward things. Nothing is beyond the purview of this prayer. It rises from the altars of the great cathedrals to obscure shanties and unknown places. It's spoken by children and politicians and royalty. It's at weddings and deathbeds alike. Rich and poor, intelligent and illiterate, simple and wise, all speak this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. How do you use this prayer? I pray this prayer every day. I'm part of a men's group here at Doolin Church, and at the end we circle up and we say the Lord's Prayer. With this group, it was kind of hard for the guys to get used to holding hands, but we hold hands and we pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm part of a peer group of pastors all over the country, and we do a conference call once a month or every other month, and we pray at the end the Lord's Prayer. It is what binds us together as a group. Even team sports use it. I was reading where there was this Christian man recalled his high school days playing football, and every Friday night they would go out and play before they would gather around, and they would say the Lord's Prayer. They would huddle up, and these players would say the Lord's Prayer, and he said, and then 2 or 3 seconds later they would all scream, let's go kill them! You know, is that the Lord's Prayer and kill them? Do they go together? Thy kingdom come. What does it mean about thy kingdom come? We have so many boundaries in our lives, and the kingdom of God has no boundaries. There are no boundaries of nationality or ethnicity or language or skin color or political affiliation, economic status, political persuasion, theological position. It doesn't matter. It's all part of the kingdom of God. And what are we asking in this? We're asking three things. We're asking God to give us something. We're asking God to forgive us. And we're asking God to lead us not into temptation. Let's look at those three very briefly. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God, just give us the minimum that we need in our lives to survive. Daily bread, you know, for those of us that are working, daily bread, to have a loaf of bread, to have something to eat, is so easy. It's right there for us. But imagine if you're homeless. If you have no money, if you have no job, and you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. Those folks pray, give us our daily bread. Hopefully somebody will come by and show compassion and help me in my aspect, my way of life. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I love it when people say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. I do that. Do you do it too? I can forgive, but I can't forget. But that's not what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is where we take that memory out of our lives and we have reconciliation with the person who has hurt us or who we have hurt, and we move on. But forgiveness is hard. But you know what? God forgives us. And that's what is so important. And then the other is this: lead us not into temptation. And people wonder, why in the world does God pray God to lead us in temptation? It means this: we ask for a lot of things, and God may give us those things, but we don't want to be led into temptation of what God has given us. We can pray for a lot of money. We may have a lot of money. But, you know, we could misuse how we use our money. Temptation, money can be such a temptation in our lives. To have that great, powerful job that we want. Oh, God, give me this job. But don't lead me into a job where I can hurt others. Temptations abound in our lives. And we pray that at those temptations, we will turn them away and do what God wants us to do in our daily lives. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Think about this week how we're going to use that prayer. You know, it's a prayer that we say over and over again. We just kind of say it. Do we really think about what we're saying? Give us today our daily bread, O God. Forgive us as you have forgiven us. Lead us not into temptation. When we say those words, think about what they mean and how they impact our lives. It's one of the most powerful prayers in Christendom in the world. But we're called to practice it and not just say it. So let's try it together. Let's slow it down a little bit and let's savor it. Let's enjoy it as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let's give it a try. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll keep on, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the good news, friends. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we all say together, Amen.